Working our way through the nine, well, we're skipping love, or eight of the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is a Pentecost season for the church, and we remember the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us, gives us life, connects us to God, gives us fruit, His fruit in our hearts and lives. So I wanted to just remind you of what they are. And I wondered if you could do this. I'll say one and you say it right after me. So it's like, repeat after me. Love.
Love.
Joy.
Joy.
Peace.
Peace.
Patience.
Patience.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
Self-control.
Self-control.
Today we're looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, patience. Patience. You know, patience is a good thing in almost anybody's playbook. I mean, going all the way back to Aristotle, he pointed out the importance of patience to do anything good. Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet, Aristotle said. I mean, you need patience to knit a sweater. You need patience to cook a turkey just right. It takes patience to master a video game or to read a mystery. Aren't you always tempted to go to that last chapter and find out, how's this going to turn out? It takes patience to learn how to play the piano. It takes patience to learn another language. And patience can feel uncomfortable. Like, I want to know how it's going to turn out. I want to know what's at the end. I wish I didn't have to play these scales all the time. Da, 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 da. But the eventual payoff makes that bitter waiting worthwhile. Patience. It's important for accomplishing anything good in the world, but I want to focus today on patience in a particular way, so we're drawing it from the Bible. Patience has a way of love. Patience has a way of love for those who follow Jesus. And I want to do this in two parts here. I'm going to look first at kind of the Bible and the theological, you might say, meaning of patience. You know, the apostle prints these in here, and God, by his Spirit, led him to write this list of strengths. But there's a context for them that you find in the Bible. Like patience has a big context. I'll look at that first, and then look at how to live it more practical. In the Hebrew language, which is the language of the Old Testament, the word patience literally means slow to anger. Slow to anger. And in the Greek, the New Testament language, the word patience means long suffering or a long temper. In both of them, you see the idea of slow to anger. We need patience because, you know, we live in a broken world and it's really angry. I mean, you encounter angry people everywhere. They're yelling about something that's not the way it should be. Try to go shopping at a store and there's somebody, this is not the way it is, not the way it's supposed to. You get a lot of anger in politics. There's a lot of anger in sports. Everywhere. Everybody is so angry. Everybody's frustrated. But not all anger is bad. Romans chapter 1 tells us that God is angry. The wrath of God is being revealed against all the wickedness of men. God's angry at the ways that people turn away from him, the way that they worship anything other than God himself, the way that they cheat others, the way a merchant might skimp the measure, boost the price, use dishonest scales, add filler to the product. God talks about these in Amos chapter 8. The wrath of God is being revealed against all the wickedness of men. The Lord has every reason to be angry because life is not the way he intended it. He designed it to be. We're living in a life of disobedience. And yet, God is patient. God is patient. He is slow to anger. In Exodus chapter 34, where the people of Israel are on their way from Egypt to the promised land, God met with Moses a second time up on Mount Sinai, and Moses wanted to know the Lord's name, and so the Lord told him who he was, and I'm going to read a part of that. He said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. What a glorious picture of God. And this these phrases get repeated in the Old Testament a number of times, even in the Psalms it comes up. The Lord is slow to anger, doesn't always accuse. He doesn't harbor his anger forever. And why is he slow to anger? Because he's abounding in steadfast love for you and me. Love for you in Christ, our Savior, through whom he gives his forgiveness. And the Apostle Peter picks up this character of the Lord in his epistle in 2 Peter chapter 3, where he says, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God, in his love, is holding off on his final judgment, leaving time for people to come to him in repentance." So how is patience a fruit of the Holy Spirit? Well, it comes from God. It's rooted in God's character. He's patient, slow to anger. And by God's grace, by his Spirit, in our chapter we read, forgive as God has forgiven you. We can be patient as God is patient with us. Colossians 3 says, as God's chosen people, he's talking to people who've been chosen by Christ, belong to him, they are holy and dearly loved, they're about filled with his Spirit, clothe yourselves with patience. When you get dressed in the morning and you're putting on, buttoning down that blouse, that shirt, when you're pulling that t-shirt over, make sure one of them is patience. Patience, being slow to anger, having a long temper. Be patient, and right away says, bear with one another. If we aren't patient, we put ourselves on a launching pad for anger. Because there are people who are close to you, who do all kinds of things that are frustrating you, that make you feel like you're going to go insane. I mean, she says to me, I don't know how many times I told him to put his dirty clothes in the hamper and not on the floor. It makes me mad, like he doesn't even care. Or he says to me, I don't know why she asks me about money all the time. I mean, I work hard enough for us to make a life and live comfortably. But she acts like I haven't done enough. It makes me so mad. Or a student may say, I can't stand it the way my friend seems to always depend on me to tell her what the assignment is for school. Can't she keep track of the teacher's assignments from the assignment sheet? It just makes me mad. I'm so frustrated. But when we bear with one another, we find a place inside of ourselves that allows us to love someone who's frustrating us, even though there's things going on that are frustrating us. We might think of how God bears with us. And we might take a breath, kind of back off from the frustration, let it rest for a minute, let go in God's love. We may ask ourselves some questions like, what's going on here? We're asking ourselves, what do I think? What do I believe about him? Or what am I believing about her? Like, they don't care? And then we ask ourselves, is that really true? Is it true that they don't really care? How might I act differently? Patience. Now we're going to get into this more. This is the second half of the sermon here. But patience is being slow to anger, bearing with people, creating time, place for them to grow, for them to change, just like God does with us. If you're a patient person, you learn to take a time out with your anger to determine how best to respond, how to love one another, just like Christ loved us. But a third thing I want to say about this Bible picture, God is patient, and by his Spirit we are called to practice that patience, which we're going to focus on later. But God, by his grace, also wants us to bear with ourselves. We need to leave room for God's fruit to mature. See, patience is that kind of fruit that leaves room for God's grace. Don't take revenge, my friends, the apostle says in Romans. Leave room for God's wrath. We've got to leave room for God's action. Patience will grow with your experience in life, especially your experience of life's difficulties. One of the thoughts that I'd had, but don't really have an answer for it, was if the world would not have had sin, would we have needed patience? Because it seems patience is especially keen to difficulty, pain, adversity, trials, troubles of all kinds. Because the world's broken. Because of our life's difficulties, our experience of some kind of hurt, we're in a place where we don't want to be. We're experiencing a pain that we don't want to have to. I don't want to deal with this cancer that I have to deal with. I don't want to have to deal with this financial struggle that's confronting our family. I don't want to have to deal with this loss, that pain. I just want it to go away. I want to be out of this situation. I want to feel better right now. But patience gives us the space to let that pain be productive. That's what the Bible says. Let that pain be productive. You get this from the book of James, where James writes in James chapter 1, he's writing to Christians who are scattered out because of some persecution. They're experiencing hardship. And he points out that their suffering can be productive. He says, count it all joy as you face trials of many kinds. Count it joy to be suffering? How so? Because in that trial, you're going to grow in perseverance, he says. The trials of life are maybe something like a toddler who wants to see what you're making up on the table. You've been putting this puzzle together for the past couple of evenings, and the little toddler walks up and with his big hands puts it down on there and pulls the puzzle onto the floor. And in our frustration, in our pain, in our sorrow, we can experience that kind of feeling that we're all busted up into pieces. And then you begin to wonder, how long is this going to go on? How long, O Lord? How long? You start to question, why is this happening? Is God in control? How long until I see your grace? How long until I see your face? How long until I see the glory? How long until that resurrection day? How long until this suffering goes away? Your faith is being tested. Count it joy to face troubles or sorrows of many kinds, because when you face trials, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete. Pain has a maturing effect when we allow God to work in us. And so as you're struggling, you might do things like look into God's Word, try to understand how God is acting, how God had acted in the past with his people, how he's acting with you now by his Spirit and by his Word. You maybe talk to other Christians who are mature and have gone through the same thing you have gone through. And what did you do? How did you deal with this? It's the testing of your faith that was developing a perseverance, a hanging in there, a stick-to-itiveness that enables you to move on in faith. But that song that we sang, How Long, O Lord, How Long, comes from Psalm 13, and it's a lament. And one of the things we can do when we're waiting is lament. Cry out to God and hang on to him. That builds patience. Practicing patience builds patience. That's sort of the broader Bible picture. God is patient, he's slow to anger. By God's Spirit, we can be too. And God calls us to grow in patience, leaning on him, looking for his presence everywhere. So in the second half of the sermon, it goes like this. How does God's patience a fruit? How is patience a fruit of God's Spirit in us? Are there things that prevent us from being patient? Is there things that you're really frustrated about? What is it you wish could change? Is there someone that's really troubling your heart? Those are the places where you can grow in patience. And patience means a kind of vision for life. Patience means seeing God's patient heart. Patient means that vision where patient people have the ability to see good in a situation, even when they want to be out of it, because they can see God. I mean, how often have I heard from people who are in a hospital bed, and they say to me that they don't really want to be sick, of course. They don't want to be going through this surgery, but they say, it's good for me to go through this because it helped me look up to God. I realize how much I need God. It helped me refocus my life. And that's what patience is all about. That's the foundation of it. It's a vision of life. You see good in a situation you'd rather be free from. It's not the thing that you're suffering from that's the good, though. It's not good that someone hurt you. It's not good that you're sick. It's not good that a difficult person is into your life. It's not good that someone died. But God, who is with you, can bring something good into it. And patience sees or looks for God's hand. That's for Psalm 13, song we sang. It says this in the first verse, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? I want to see you. I want to see your action. I want to see you bearing my burdens. I want your spirit to comfort me. So patience begins as we live into it as a vision of life, a vision of seeing God bringing something good into our life, being with us always. I think of how a parent may be tired of driving their kids everywhere. It's actually a joy. When we moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan a year and a half ago, I was lived by our grandkids, and our daughters were inviting us to help on some of the taking the kids to school, taking them home from school, bringing them to practice. But you know, you can get tired of that. Traffic's hectic. There are other people who want you to be home. There are other things you maybe need to do rather than spend time in the car. But then you pause and you realize that this is one of the few times you can be alone with your child. Our granddaughter turned 16 last fall, and we didn't need to drive her around anymore. And I miss it. Because it was a chance for me to ask about her day, to share what was on my mind, have her talk about what's on her heart, maybe make some plans for getting together another time. Something good could happen. Something good could happen in this situation that I really want to be out of. That's patience. Seeing God with us, bringing his good. And the place he brings it, first of all, is in you. I mean, you think about your life. Think about the ways you know you have not lived up to what Christ made you to be, the way you're not living up to what he's calling you to do. You feel sometimes like, why does God put up with me? Because he's gracious. He's compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. He's with you always. He's ready to forgive always. He sets you on your feet and calls you to step ahead again. Each new day, morning by morning, is his mercies. Because of that Lord's great love, we're not consumed, because he is patient. And seeing his patience in our life, in his presence in our life, helps us be patient. But the second thing about it is not only that vision of life, but also we need to take a step and want it. We need intention, that we're willing to wait for Christ to bring change. By his Spirit, God renews our heart. He enlivens our will so that we want to be more like Jesus. It's him who does good work in us. And he's going to bring it to completion in the day of Christ. And by his Spirit, he renews our desire, even our willingness to change and to wait for change. So we want to be patient. We want to wait for Christ. And God's Spirit, in doing this, builds on what God put in us in the first place. The Holy Spirit, as his wind blows on our heart, restores us, renews us. One of the confessions of our church, the Canons of Dort, says he restores us gently. Restores our heart like one restoring a broken reed. And he restores us so that we do what we're created to do. And one of those is to be ready to change. The fairy tales that you perhaps heard as a child reflect some of that. Like the ugly duckling. Ugly ducklings laughed at by all the other ducklings because it's freakishly big and awkward, until one day that ugly duckling turns into a beautiful, elegant swan. Or the wooden marionette one day brings real joy to his woodcarver, the woodcarver who made him, because he changed into a real boy. John Ortberg writes in The Life You Always Wanted, "The desire for transformation lies deep in every heart. That's why people enter therapy, join health clubs, get into recovery groups, read self-help books, attend motivational seminars, make New Year's Eve resolutions. We were wired to change for the better. And God, by his Spirit, blows on that desire and brings it alive. The psychologist Aaron Beck says that the single belief most toxic to a relationship is the belief that the other person cannot change. God's Spirit can awaken that desire in us and can awaken that desire in others that we might see growth and change. But it's God that brings the growth. Are we willing to wait on God? The Apostle Paul stated that so plainly in Corinthians. I planted, Apollos watered, but God brings the growth. Patience, in other words, reckons with my limitations. I can't make myself grow. I can't make someone else grow, but God can. Do you want to see change in yourself? Don't try harder. Open yourself up more to God. Do you want to see change in those around you? Trust in God. Pray. He is the one who can soften hard hearts. He's the one that renews lives. Patience will grow as you're willing to wait on Christ to bring change. And third, not only the vision of seeing God present everywhere, bringing good in all situations, not only the intention, willing to wait for Christ, but the means. There's some steps we can take. Slowing our automatic response to show kind patience. In order to grow in patience, there's something we need to slow down. Just slow it down. That's our frustration, our anger. Patience is slow to anger. That's what the Bible calls it. So here's a step you can take. Maybe you watched the NBA Finals. Trudy and I did. We actually enjoyed it a lot. But every game, when things started going badly for one team and another, and it happened every game that things went badly, that the opposing team was just having everything go their way, well, in the middle of all that, the coach calls timeout. Timeout. And the action of the game gets suspended for a couple of minutes, and while we're watching commercials, the players are having a moment to catch their breath. The coach is taking a minute to help them see what's going on, to see how the opponent is exploiting some hole in their defense and how they can correct that. And then after the timeout, usually that team is more focused again. They can start to get back in the game again. And a timeout is a practice of patience. Take a minute to suspend the action. Timeout. And see what's going on. And consider how best to respond to it. I mean, I can recall the inner tension that I was experienced when I befriended a man who as I got to know him, had a glaring sin in his life. As I got closer to him, the more I felt this internal tension within myself. How can I stop him from doing this thing? I felt it was my job to make it right, stop him from doing it. And as a result, I was often frozen. Sometimes I wonder, what if I say the wrong thing? Even inviting them into my home, is that somehow approving this behavior that I want to stop? Maybe I should stop doing that. But what was happening was I was taking on too much responsibility. Because who changes hearts? God does, by His Spirit. Who brings repentance? God does, by His Spirit. I needed to leave room for God's grace, to let God change hearts. He changes mine with all my sins and all my weaknesses. And that idea that it's God that brings the growth freed me. I only needed to be genuinely kind, gracious, speak the truth in love. And speak the truth in love means that it wasn't about me and my anger or my anxiety or my frustration, but it was because I loved him and because that love needed to be clearly visible. To do that, I needed to rest in God's grace and let God work the change so I could be kind in my patience. Respond with the kind word of truth in love. Respond by kindly opening the door to a closer and closer relationship. As all I was waiting on Jesus to renew them. What's it take to grow in patience? To see God present, we're ready to wait for Christ. And slow down our frustration. To be kind in my reactions. And so how might your life be different if you were to wear, Marie said, put on patience.